This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. It is the 16th of August, 2011, and I'd like to welcome back all of the listeners from the summer hiatus. It's been a few weeks since I've been really publishing anything on the website, so welcome back. And I am getting back into the swing of things here in Japan. And as I'm doing so, I am now talking to Eric Schein, a regular guest of ours, and unfortunately someone who has just received a rather unfortunate decision from the NTSB, which he has been appealing his case to. And we are going to get into this document today, and it is posted up with this interview. So please go to CorbettReport.com and look under the interview, today's interview with Eric Schein, to find a copy of this document. And anyone who hasn't done so is requested to look at previous interviews that we've done so that you know and familiarize yourself a little bit more with this case. But let's bring up Eric Schein, who is waiting patiently on the line. Eric, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks a lot, James. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you you being up at such an early time in the morning over in the Pacific there, and unfortunately, it's not good news that we're talking about today. So let's talk a little bit about this document and really what it means for your case.
Well, the one thing I think that is clear is it's the Coast Guard, a branch of military in Homeland Security, using military assets, JAG counsel. And even a lieutenant commander in the Coast Guard as the quote-unquote judge or hearing officer against me as an alleged civilian.
That's pretty much what it boils down to, isn't it? And it's, 29 pages?
Yeah, 31
pages, yeah. And in all of that time, they basically just reaffirm everything that the Coast Guard has been saying and say that basically all of your arguments are without merit.
Well, and yeah, because the NTSB just acted as a rubber stamp for the Coast Guard. They didn't, you know, they bring up or point to issues about Navy lieutenant, posse comitatus comes up in there, although they twist it around and try to say that I've been saying that somehow they're forcing me under posse comitatus, which is not what I've been saying. I've been saying that the Coast Guard is violating posse comitatus, because we're not supposed to use the military for civilian affairs or for police and regulatory functions here in the United States. That's martial law.
Absolutely, and the real substance of what you're saying there hasn't been addressed at all whatsoever in this document. And as you say, they twist it around to say basically the exact opposite. It's kind of ridiculous.
Especially on its face, because it's clear the Coast Guard is saying or believes it is a branch of military now in Homeland Security rather than the Department of Defense, where all our branches of military are supposed to be. The Coast Guard's never been a branch of military. It's always been a Federal Maritime Police Agency. And now somehow it can carry on police and regulatory functions and powers and even adjudications. They didn't go to the issue of the fact that Lieutenant Commander Tribble is a JAG officer in the Coast Guard. They brought up about the service as a direct commissioned officer of Lieutenant Commander Brzezinski, who was the quote-unquote administrative law judge or hearing officer who heard the case. And they just kind of discount it and say, well, that there's no conflict there.
Right, exactly. I mean, there's no treatment given to the substance of that or to really any of the implications of what you've been talking about. So it's rather disheartening to see this because, of course, once again, they get to summarize what they think your argument is and then to dismiss the parts that they think are not important, which is, of course, the substance of what you're saying.
Well, they get to speak for you. I mean, literally. You know, they didn't, they if you read their order, they even discard my appeal and basically wrote their own. You know, where they're saying, well, he filed an appeal and yeah, and it didn't follow the regulations and we didn't find it conforming, you know, because, I mean, that's what a ruler is. They use rules rather than law. They discard the law and then make up their own rules as they go. And that's what's happening predominantly in the United States with all administrative agencies, whether it be the Department of Labor, Office of Special Counsel, Department of Agriculture, FDA, you name it, Minerals Management Service, which is, you know, it was drugs and sex for oil leases, Hess Oil was involved in all that. Pamela Hess III is the Coast Guard Commandant's wife, Admiral Allen, and she's related to Hess Oil Dynasty from back east. So you've got all these corporate families who are representing the American people, or say they are, when in fact they're representing the corporations that they're related to or tied to in one way or fashion, shape, or form. They even have in there about how the counsel that I had before I was stripped of counsel, and they say that I don't have the right to counsel, but that the counsel was forced upon me by the shipping companies.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, they bring it all up, but they don't.
But they don't actually address the implications of what that means or what that, no. How that affected your case at all.
Or aren't even curious, like they denied me oral arguments. They said, well, we don't understand all this, and we don't understand his appeal, and, oh, it was a Herculean task for us to even try to read this. And then they throw out, and you've seen that and noted that was the weight.
Right, of, yes. The infamous, yeah. 22 pounds of documents, because right. Apparently that's the new way of measuring how many documents you've received.
Well, because they denied me a hearing for 8, 9, 10 years. They waited a year as they were gathering evidence. They didn't use any subpoenas or real warrants because it's the executive branch doing it. The Coast Guard, a police agency. It's bad enough if what they were doing was the Coast Guard as a police agency. That would be really bad, everything that's going on. But now they're saying that they're the military. So they're acting like as a military police over civilians here in the United States.
Absolutely. And they do bring up the issue of your medical records, which I guess the Coast Guard subpoenaed in this case. And they bring up that issue.
They subpoenaed themselves. They didn't go to a real Article 3 judge and say, hey, we want these records because of, and then the judge issue an order. They went and got them themselves. And there's all sorts of, besides the fact that they used someone else's medical records, there's letters that we tried to bring up and show them, and they just didn't care, where the letter to obtain records had someone else's Social Security number, and that was coming from, quote-unquote, the union. And I didn't release any of my medical records. I, in fact, called all my doctors, general practitioner, whomever, and told them not to release any records. And Sharp Hospital, the very same hospital where my father died, provided documents to ALJ McKenna, the one who recused himself after 4 years. And then they blamed the delays on me, like him holding on the case rather than recusing himself. The commandant held onto it for 2 years and then issued a final order, sent it back to McKenna to hold a hearing. When he gets it, to hold a hearing again, as he was ordered to do, and the reason I tried to have him recused, he then recuses himself only then. And they blame me for those delays.
And it says here in footnote 32, we also note Judge McKenna issued a protective order for the medical records. What does that even mean after the Coast Guard has already subpoenaed to get them?
Well, not even subpoenaed them. They released them, and then they use them and talk about them in this final order. And the thing is that they're not mine. And beyond that, which goes to the Coast Guard has had problems with drug testing where they've had false positives, and the drug labs have been overtly corrupt where they've had no quality control, so to speak, over drug sampling. There's a case called Perriman where, he went in and proved the guy who was running the drug lab, which is a private corporation, had falsified records. He'd actually end up getting fired, I guess, for bad practices or something. And they showed that the whole drug testing system was overtly corrupt, lapse, wasn't working properly. He eventually got his license back or got whatever action against him removed. But if they're doing that on simple drug tests, there's no chain of custody here on medical records. And the Coast Guard went as far as to actually falsify medical records. and medical records that were what appears not even mine. So they went in and like they tried to say that I said, when I never said this, that evil spirits possess me at times.
So when they go to this extent and they're literally just lying about things and then basically summarizing the argument in their own words and well, removing your words in these types of documents, I mean, what can you possibly do?
You saw what happened with the FDA with Christina Todd Whitman, where she basically ordered people and told people that it was okay to go work at the 9/11 site after 9/11 occurred and said, oh, it's safe, you know. And all these people then ended up dying of respiratory ailments, you know, firemen and policemen and private contractors and others who believe the government and the lies that they put out about. And you look into who Christina Todd Whitman is and who she's related to. We had a, I'm trying to think of her last, her first name. She was just running for governor out here, another Whitman. And, you know, I keep bringing up these people are all related. Sarah Palin is related to Tim Pawlenty. Tim Pawlenty was just recently running for president. You know, and so we've got these extremely tight-knit families. I mean, you start looking at some of the board of directors on a lot of these corporations, and they're all kissing cousins. I mean, like President Barack Obama is, I think it's 11th cousin to President Bush.
Actually, I thought he was more closely related to Cheney.
He's related to Cheney, too. So he's related to both Bush and Cheney. And you look into our history and what's going on here, and, I mean, he's related to Roosevelt. And Roosevelt was the one who put out a, you know, they say we've never declared bankruptcy and our AAA rating. Well, in 1933, the United States declared bankruptcy. And he put out the seizure of... four metals, including gold and silver, and 40% of Americans turned in their precious metals under his executive order.
And it all went to Fort Knox, and who knows where it is now?
Well, that's, you know, that would be a conspiracy theory.
Oh, yes. I mean, those are absolutely never true, so don't right. listen to anyone who propounds them. Right, exactly. Unfortunately, you're correct, and I wonder where this really leaves you in this case, because once again, there's another level of appeal that has just been summarily rejected, without any indication that there's any hope for this case.
Without consideration. I mean, they blame the delays that the Coast Guard took on me, and then even said they tried to blame me for the literal delays. But then also said, oh, well, and he didn't request speedy processing. It's like, huh?
Right, I didn't know that was a legal requirement.
Well, especially for a branch of military that you're not in, that's violating the United States Constitution and using military assets to go after you. I'm not in the Coast Guard. I never served in the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard minimally is a police agency, but in fact is saying that it's a branch of military now, so it's a military police agency. So we don't have just a police state here. We have a military police state. And you know, the encroachment, one agency, one department, one officer, if one military officer is using military assets and military personnel against American civilians, that's too much of an encroachment. It shouldn't be going on at all.
Right, I see what you're saying. I mean, it's not a question we can do it part way, or it's okay if we do a little bit, but it's not at all. It's the principle.
Or one guy. You know, to say, well, it's just shine, and don't worry, we won't do this again, and because they're doing it. Like right now, the Coast Guard is involved, and I'm not sure what's going on in the case. This guy, Captain Weber, excuse me, in Florida, he tested positive for marijuana on a drug test. So you've got a branch of military enforcing drug testing laws for civilians who are certified or licensed as captains for small boats. So it's like having a branch of military acting as if it were the DEA as well. Not even just the DEA for like drug smuggling, but drug use by a ship operator. It's like having the railroad and rail operators basically overseen by the military, the United States Army.
That's right, and I don't think I or many other people would have a problem with the Coast Guard acting as a police agency if it was not explicitly a part of the military like they're now claiming it is.
Well, if you look into their history, though, and you realize the problem with it, because even as a civilian civil service Federal Maritime Police Agency, they think of themselves as a branch of military. The Coast Guard, its powers, and this is part of the problem going back to Hamilton, those powers should be handled by the local authorities. Sheriffs, we've got waterborne sheriffs, harbor patrol, etc., in policing, and when necessary, federalized, you know, just like the National Guard, under times of emergency, or bringing in personnel to liaison with them when necessary, but not for any great length of time, like, you know, 10 years, that's longer than World War II, you know, this war on terror, quote unquote, this so-called war on terror. And it's not about terror. It's not about Middle Eastern terrorists. It's about subjecting the American people and creating a not just a military police state, but a slave state. Because a lot of this involves union rights and or labor rights, where I had complained on board the ships and then went into federal court and filed suit against the shipping companies and the union, and they used a branch of military to protect themselves from me, who was filing a formal civil complaint against them. They're the ones who prompted the Coast Guard to bring the charges against me. Archie Morgan, related to J.P. Morgan, Archie Morgan IV, wrote to the Coast Guard to have me investigated. You there?
I'm here. I'm just, contemplating.
I mean, if you go through the order and read it closely, at least I believe, even if you know nothing of this or you know a little bit about this, to me, it's a tough read because it's tough to buy what they're trying to sell. Because the way, you know, although they weigh and do all this stuff against me, they try to put out, like, even the weight of all the filings as if that's my fault also, and that they had this quote-unquote Herculean task. But I'm not the one who used two different ALJs against me. I'm not the one who brought the charges. They brought charges for quote-unquote being depressed, trying to prove that I'm medically, mentally incompetent. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Changeling with Angelina Jolie.
Actually, I haven't, no.
Well, if it's from the 1920s. It's actually, a lot of it happened in 1928. And it's based on, you know, true incidents. And this is just before the crash of the stock market, about a year before. And this woman, her son was kidnapped. And she ends up, I thought it was about the Lindbergh baby initially, but then I watched it and realized it wasn't. But it was about corruption in LAPD, to where if you complained too much, if you complained about the wrong thing, they had a code 12 and they would institute you into a mental ward and have you committed. Basically, like, look, there's nothing we can charge them when they haven't done anything, but we're going to say that they're a threat to public safety and or to themselves, and have them committed into a mental ward and detained. And, like, there was one woman in the story that Angelina Jolie befriended, or she befriended her, that was a prostitute. And she ended up getting beat up by a quote-unquote John. And it turned out that, you know, she complained about it, and it turned out the individual was a police officer. And so to shut her up and cover up what happened, they put her in the mental ward. But Angelina Jolie, her son was kidnapped. The police gave her a son that wasn't her own and tried to convince her that, well, it's been 5 months, your son changes, guaranteed, this is your son, and tried to basically pawn him off on her. They found an orphan or somebody who was, you know, willing to play along, and came out in the end that it indeed was not her son. And the LAPD, to cover up what they did, threw in a mental ward because she kept insisting that this is not my son and I want my son back and I want you to find my son. And but they used the quote-unquote psychiatry, and even the doctor in the mental ward tried to force Angelina Jolie to sign a confession just so she could be released for the police department. Get her to sign a waiver to the police department saying they did nothing wrong, saying this is her child, saying that, you know, she's the problem. And she just adamantly refused. And you see in my own order, they've tried to order me into a psych exam 4 times, and I've refused. Because they want me to give evidence against myself in an unrecorded hearing or proceeding before a doctor. We actually went to one at the adult services down in San Diego, which is like what they use for corrupt probate courts, to have people stripped of all their property and, you know, use the adult services to do it. This doctor's imported from India or wherever he came from. He's running the service down there, and we went with a videographer and an attorney, and he wouldn't carry on the proceeding if my attorney was present or if it was to be recorded. And it's California law that you're allowed to at least audio record, and they haven't changed the laws that to allow them, if this is going to go on, which in my mind shouldn't go on, it all should be video recorded. So anybody could go back in and say, what are you talking about? There's no reason to have somebody committed. What did he say? What did he do?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, when you think about the power that's invested in these people in these situations, to really throw people away, lock them up and throw away the key.
Yeah.
It's chilling. It's absolutely chilling. And anyone who wouldn't want, you know, that type of examination on the record is, I'd be more suspect about their mental state.
Right. And it's ex parte because it's unrecorded. It's off the record. So this guy gets to come in through abuses of hearsay evidence and rules in these proceedings. They mentioned in there about the federal rules. This is a federal agency doing this, but the federal rules for civil procedure or criminal procedure don't apply. So there's no procedural rules, really. They say that, well, it's Title V and the Administrative Procedure Act. Well, in the APA, they say that the FRCPs apply. And that was the attorney general that put it out in the 40s after World War II. And there was huge changes, which included making clear that the Coast Guard is a civil service, not a branch of military. There was congressional proceedings in the 79th Congress back in 1946, where the same issues that are going on now, like in my own case, or the Coast Guard in general, were raised. And they were all arguing about whether the Coast Guard's a branch of military or not. And after World War II, it was placed under Title 14 on its own as a federal maritime police agency, separate and apart from the military under Title 10. And it was not placed in the Department of Defense. It was in the Department of Commerce at the time. I mean, how do you get a branch of military that came from the Treasury Department originally, and then was the Commerce Department, and then the Transportation Department, and is now in quote-unquote Homeland Security?
Well, the short answer is you don't, or at least you don't legitimately get one. But that's pretty much the state of what they're claiming and simultaneously denying. I mean, it's kind of bizarre, right, when you look at what they're doing.
Well, and I mean, don't you find a lot of their final orders circuitous? It's unsupported. They don't cite from the record, even though they say that I didn't cite from the record, although I did over 500 times. In the appeal to the commandant. And then we again go back in, and they say there's no evidence of them falsifying the records, when in fact there is. There's orders, and I point to them, and they lie. They outright ignore them. And if you watch that movie, The Changeling, it's very akin to what's going on here, where the LAPD just out and out lied about what they did to this woman and, you know, how they used the psych services. And the attorney, when he gets into federal court, I believe it was federal court. It could have been state, but I'm sure, well, it was LAPD, but there was kidnapping and other stuff involved, but I'm sure they went into state court probably back then, especially. He says no one is safe with these kind of broad powers where they can just basically, a lieutenant in the police department can point to somebody and have them, you know, he even says, well, she wasn't arrested. She was escorted to the mental ward.
Escorted.
Right, where he can just point at somebody and have their all of their rights, all of their constitutional rights and protections, all of their natural rights, all of their human rights stripped from them by just simply saying, we think that she's unsafe. She's a threat to public safety, that she may injure herself, that she's distressed. There's a point in the movie where he says, I believe you're agitated. And I believe that it almost acting as if he's some kind of psychiatrist and labeling her and then, you know, working in collusion with the psych services to basically exonerate the police of their not only inactivity, but their internal corruption.
Right. Well, that's the kind of sense that I get from this document, is that it's just completely trying to eliminate you and your argument from the record. It's trying to basically expunge the substance of anything that you've had to say in this entire proceeding, and to just basically write around it and to say that everything that you've said or anything that you've argued is either capable of being dismissed very easily, or that they have refuted it, or really just absolutely giving you no time or space in order to actually say, you know, what it is that you're actually attempting to do here, or why there is a case here.
Well, even like to ALJ McKenna's recusal, I tried everything to get him to recuse himself because it was clear he was going to deny me a hearing. Then he denies me a hearing. I filed an appeal before, you know, it, because he made it clear, look, I'm not going to hold a hearing unless you undergo a psych exam. I'm not going to hold a hearing. So he was trying to force me into a psych exam before a hearing so as to preclude the need for a hearing. And it was clear to me. So we even tried to get into federal district court and get a restraining order. And they said it was not ripe because he hadn't not held a hearing yet. Although he hadn't held a hearing. The Coast Guard, and I tried to file an appeal to them because my attorney wouldn't do it. They said it was an interlocutory appeal, and interlocutory appeals were not allowable, and that since he had not held a hearing yet, they couldn't decide on the matter of whether he held a hearing or not. So they've got this whole circuitous thing going on. I did everything to get him to recuse himself timely. I tried to demand it from the commandant, from him. I even filed a motion with him to, you know, recuse himself. He wouldn't do it. He holds on the case for 4 years. And then finally, when it's sent back to him to hold a hearing, he recuses himself and turns it over to Lieutenant Commander Walter Brzezinski, who himself is a direct commission officer who they brought in as a prosecutor from Virginia to train all the prosecutors in the Coast Guard. He even trained the guy that was before him. But he was a direct commission officer, a lieutenant commander in the Coast Guard himself, and he's the one who gets to decide the case.
Which apparently is just A-okay with the NTSB.
Right. You saw that in there where they mention it, bring it up, and it doesn't matter. It's not, there's no conflict there.
Right. Or even to the issue of McKenna attempting to get you into the psych exam itself, they note that you didn't do that, but they don't note anything. They don't give any indication of why you weren't doing that or why you weren't complying with his order, quote unquote. I mean, it makes it sound like you were just afraid to do it because, of course, you would be found to be crazy.
Well, because they were the ones, the Coast Guard is the one who's ordering it. They're the ones setting it up. They're doing it in such a manner as to hold it off the record. They tried to have it done at the Naval Hospital in San Diego. So why would the Coast Guard? Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, exactly. But absolutely none of that appears in this order. It's just,
well,
yeah.
because they don't want to address any of that stuff. And the key issue is McKenna tried to order me into a psych exam 3 times before a hearing. So he's clearly prejudiced.
That's it. Because I mean, it's pretty obvious how that would have played out if you had right. done that.
Well, and if they had actually allowed me to testify. And they said that I chose not to testify, which is not the case. I tried to, and I tried to even call witnesses. And rather than going to any of the witnesses, I tried to call Lieutenant Commander Tribble, the citing officer, and they wouldn't allow it. So it's like having the police officer who cites you, to where you can't question him on the stand about the citation.
Except in the order, it says the appellant made no attempt to call any witness other than Cecil Ray during his case.
Which is untrue. And then even Cecil Ray turns out to be a graduate of the Coast Guard Academy.
Color me shocked.
Yeah, right. So one of the lead witnesses against me, other than Captain French, who's also a Coast Guard he's a Coast Guard medical officer in uniform. And you see in there, if you read this closely, there's so much in there. And again, I'm asking for help. I don't know what to say or do, but if there's any angel or anybody that cares out there or a group of people, I'm in deep trouble and I'm not getting out of this. And not at least of my own powers. And like in the movie with Angelina Jolie, the movie Changeling, her character, that it's based on real life events at the time. If not for the help of a minister and concerned citizens, she would have, ended up spending the rest of her life in that mental ward unless she had somehow signed a confession that she was lying, that it was her child, even though it wasn't, and exonerating the LA Police Department of wrongdoing.
Right, and unfortunately, I don't see any way forward through this legal system for you in this case. I mean, there just seems to be no point, really, in appealing this or going forward. And I don't like to be pessimistic like that, but this order just leaves absolutely nothing and just once again demonstrates how they can just completely and utterly dismiss your argument and completely strip you of from the record of your own case.
Right, and speak for you.
Exactly.
To where they're the judge, jury, executioner, and even the defense, to where I'm up against JAG counsel somehow, but I'm denied JAG counsel myself. So a Coast Guard personnel in the Coast Guard, if they face off against JAG counsel, they would be provided JAG counsel to defend them. But as a civilian somehow, and I, they bring up about me being allegedly a naval lieutenant. I was a commissioned officer in the United States Navy serving on special duty in the Merchant Marine as a graduate of Kings Point when they brought charges against me. The Coast Guard even had approved me to upgrade my license, and that's what they're using this as, a licensing proceeding. But there's no licensing going on here. They want to, rather than carry on a mental competency test like engineering test, they want to and have the right to, without a hearing, force somebody into a psych exam. Do you understand what the charges are against me or what I did?
I don't, and I certainly can't understand them from this order because they never actually make it explicitly clear.
Right. So the whole issue is about forcing me into a psych exam and doing it through this, over 8 to 10 years and one ALJ ordering me into a psych exam 3 times. And then the follow-up ALJ upholding all of his orders, stepping into his shoes, basically. And you saw they didn't have a problem with Brodzinski stepping in and taking over McKenna's position as if he were McKenna. McKenna recuses himself, but then everything that he did, and without any reason why he recuses himself, and then everything that he did is upheld by the follow-on ALJ as if the proceedings just continued. And that was an issue.
Exactly. Nothing to see there. Nothing worth actually bothering to think about.
Right. And that was one of the issues of double jeopardy, to where instead of getting a de novo proceeding, and starting over with a different ALJ, which they tried to say that it was, they just continued on and basically like handing the baton to a different ALJ. They're using these almost as if it was a Social Security Administration administrative law proceeding, trying to determine somebody's medical or mental, you know, fitness or lack thereof to obtain Social Security. And instead of, you know, we've got an enormous, and there's been an article out recently about this, we have an enormous bureaucracy within Social Security that is feeding off of the Social Security Trust Fund rather than simply just paying benefits to people. It's actually in there to deny benefits from people.
Well, so what do we do from this point then?
I'm begging for help, and I don't know what to say. Like, you know, in a situation like this, when you're up against the only way our type of any government works, regardless of the type, is when the people are actively involved and carry on oversight of the corruption. In this situation, it's very clear. The Coast Guard is saying, regardless of how they try to portray it, they're a branch of military. And they're saying that they can carry on and adjudicate civilian affairs. Police, regulate, enforce civilian affairs. And we don't use our military. Nobody in their right mind in this day and age, except a banana republic or some kind of military dictatorship, uses the military for... I mean, that's why we're chastising all these countries in the Middle East and in North Africa, because they're using their military against their own people. And yet we're doing it ourselves.
It's exactly the point, isn't it?
Yeah, and I don't know how... I mean, to me, it's pretty straightforward, and it's very simple. And everybody seems to get kind of lost or caught up in all the... You know, well, why didn't you undergo a psych exam? You should have, allowed yourself to undergo. It's like, why, if they're making it clear that they want to carry on a competency hearing of you and that they believe up front that they can do this and just point at you and say that you're medically, mentally incompetent without a reason, because I'm supposed to be charged by the Coast Guard with an act of professional incompetence, something I did or did not do that I'm licensed to do, that that's what they're supposed to bring charges against me for. But the problem with that is it's the very police agency doing it. But it's not even a police agency anymore. It's a branch of military somehow. So you've got military police carrying on their own trials of who they are identifying and saying are civilians. And they're using military JAG counsel, Captain Arthur French. They mention in there, and if you look at the order and read it closely, there was no diagnosis of me. He diagnosed me from how I defended myself in the proceedings.
It's so ridiculous. What else can you do but laugh? But you're right. Yeah, no, they admit it right there in the open, but they hope people will gloss over it.
Exactly. And that's where, but hopefully, me explaining some of this or pointing to it to where it's right there. And I guess, you could look to some of the bigger issues that have happened over the last 10 years and see how easily people do just simply believe the government, simply take things at face value, like all those workers who went back to work because Christina Todd Whitman from the EPA told them that it was safe. Don't worry about it. The air quality in New York is just fine. When they find out that she was lying and that the air quality was not good. And, they not only deprived the life, liberty, and property from these people, but then in the end, when it came to just compensation for a lot of these firefighters and others, they denied it. And some of the very same people that are involved in that, in the trust fund for the families affected by 9/11, Lieutenant Commander Brzezinski is one of those individuals. He's involved in my own affairs. So the very same people that are carrying on, and Kenneth Feinberg, he's involved with Monsanto and Agent Orange and asbestos and World Trade Center, and he's an attorney for BP. He's involved in what happened in the Gulf with a BP incident. He's the one who trained Lieutenant Commander Brzezinski. So if people would, you know, stick up for their, you know, brethren, their fellow man, a lot of the corruptions and those carrying it on would be, you know, the light would be shone upon them, and they would be taken out of the system. You know, because it has, like Tom DeLay and all sorts of other people have been removed from the system. And these people were overtly corrupt, regardless of how good they did on Dancing on the Stars or Dancing with the Stars, like Tom DeLay. But and at some point, it's a very tight-knit group of individuals operating within the government, protecting each other, that are tied to a lot of these corporations that are doing the same thing on the other side of the fence, to where you have, you know, whether it's this quote unquote revolving door between the military industrial complex and or the corporate side of that and or the governmental side of that. It's not just Congress members like Jane Harman, who's since left office, but it's judges, it's police officers, it's people within the executive branch. It's all three branches of government, to where you have these individuals who are intentionally, overtly corrupting the system. And because I've pointed to many of them who are extremely powerful, extremely connected, like Archie Morgan, the fourth, who's related to J.P. Morgan, he's the one who, you know, got the Coast Guard, a branch of military, to come after me. And he did that for one of the shipping companies that was a defendant in federal district court. So if you file a civil complaint against the wrong people, they can, just like what they did with the LAPD in that movie, The Changeling, they can get the Coast Guard, not just a police agency, but a military police agency, to come after you and carry mental competency proceedings against you.
Unfortunately, exactly right. And that really does come through in this order when you actually read it and you're looking for the substance of what the charges against you are. I mean, the only thing there is basically that they were annoyed at you. And there's no indication at all that there was anything that you did that was incompetent, that there was anything you should have done or shouldn't have done, because there isn't. The entire substance of the case is that they found you to be a pest, basically. So they're going to try to call you insane.
But think about that. If they can do that to somebody that they see as a pest, or somebody who they see as a nuisance, and there's bigger issues here, because one of the things that I'm blowing the whistle about is the Coast Guard being a branch of military now in Homeland Security when it's not supposed to be a branch of military. The issues started out smaller, still serious, about dumping of hazardous materials up in the bay off of a government ship called the SS Comet. And also trying to stop an explosion before it happened, where one guy ended up actually getting burned because they wouldn't listen. And instead of improving the system and saying, look, you need to listen to people who are highly trained, I have a $300,000 education, all paid for by the federal government that I can't use. Not only my, you know, commission, which has been stripped of me, my top secret security clearance, my degree in marine engineering, my position as an officer in the United States Merchant Marine, my homes, my life, my property has all been stripped from me. But they've used a branch of military trying to force me under psych examinations to do so. And it's like, wow, it goes back to, it harkens back to the 1920s when they were doing this to women and orphans and others, anyone who didn't have the resources or the access, prostitutes, didn't matter. Any quote-unquote undesirable. And the other movie I would point to get people to kind of, you know, a graphic representation is One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Jack Nicholson's character was based on a merchant mariner. You see there's a scene in there where he actually takes a boat out with a bunch of the people from the hospital, kind of, you know, basically steals a boat, takes him out on a big fishing boat. But you can see he's an old hand, and he knows how to operate a boat. His character, whoever, I'm trying to remember who wrote it, but they had actually studied what had gone on in the Department of Health and Human Services, where they would use this federal authority to take people like, you know, seamen, federal maritime officers, crew, and basically if they spoke up or complained or saw something or were witness to something that you know, might get somebody in trouble, they would have them committed. And no one should have that kind of power. I mean, we see, and there's been all sorts of reports and complaints and even TV documentaries or news documentaries on this, to where the probate courts are corrupt. Even the child services courts are corrupt, where they had one back east where they were intentionally violating children so that they would go into a private for-profit work center, and they were basically using the children because they would get paid, you know, per head, per child who was, you know, indoctrinated or incarcerated in these programs, where it was a profit motive, profit center, where there was a corrupt judge working with the for-profit child services to place children intentionally for minor violations into like a adolescent type, like juvenile hall type, you know, care, where it wasn't a public service run by the courts and by, you know, civil service personnel working for the state or city, but it was a private for-profit corporation that was intentionally, you know, basically taking children from their families, violating them for minor infractions, and making profit off of incarcerating them. So if we've got people that are willing to do this to children and destroy families, and this is, you can do the research on it. This is, you know, this was a big case recently back east. I think it was in the last year or two. But this is human nature. This is something that has gone on for quite some time. This is, I hate to say it, nothing new under the sun. The Coast Guard has been doing this for quite some time. There's another case called Shea where I believe, and this guy's a Canadian, and it's like, why is the United States Coast Guard going after a Canadian citizen and or subject or whatever you want to call him, but, you know, clearly a Canadian, not an American, and using overt military powers to have him declared medically, mentally incompetent?
Very good question. Is that case still ongoing?
I don't think so. I think they probably just, and I, you know, the thing is, on a lot of these cases, they're set up cases. This case happened in the midst of my proceedings, and like Brzezinski was involved with a TSA case where it was a TSA agent. It was a complete setup case to create really bad case precedents. Basically, it was a false case where they do this intentionally to create bad precedents intentionally, where it's the agency carrying it on. They're like, in my own situation, they're all the parties. They're speaking for everybody. The system is rigged. It's fixed. And rather than just doing it like in my situation where they basically mooted me and are speaking for me because I'm incompetent to do so for myself, supposedly, they're doing this with the player being involved in it, like an agent going in undercover and intentionally creating false and bad case precedents. It's like doing a drug sting or an undercover case, but instead of undercover to catch a criminal, they're doing undercover court proceedings where the case is set up entirely from start to finish and with one end in mind of creating bad precedents that can be used against other citizens, other civilians, other human beings. So they're creating case law themselves with all of their own personnel.
Absolutely. Well, it's impossible to fight back against that.
Well, and that's where, you know, to me, the issue is real simple. And we just had somebody who was supposedly looking at this. He was one of the attorneys in Gitmo, a prosecutor. And he was supposedly, and I say supposedly because I have no proof or evidence of it, and I've asked him, you know, what he was looking at. I gave him some links to some different stuff, but I was supposed to talk to him, and my girlfriend was supposed to talk to him, and we never talked. He was referred to me by the National Whistleblower Center. I had Steve Cohn as the executive director of National Whistleblower Center on my radio program, and they referred me over to this guy. And he's a lieutenant colonel in the Army, and he supposedly blew the whistle on what was going on at Gitmo. where he couldn't partake in it, where you had the prosecutor saying this system is overtly corrupt and it's unfair, unjust, to where seven people asked for reassignment and they weren't defense counsel, they were the prosecution. But he supposedly looked at it and he sent me back, and told me that he can't help me. So someone like that who's taken a stand for, detainees in Guantanamo Bay can't help me here in the United States for whatever reason, conflict of interest or whatever. It disturbed me because if you read the October 23rd, 2007 transcripts or the May 20th, 2008 transcripts 5 years later, where they held on to me for 5 years or longer, because it really goes to it doesn't go to when they bring charges against you. It really, and there's case law on this Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court. When they target you specifically as the perpetrator or as the target of their investigation, that's when you're basically considered to be in police custody. Because once they've focused on you in their investigation, you're being looked at. And whether you're actually in physical custody or not, you're considered under the law, under case precedents, to be in custody. So they started, quote unquote, investigating me as early as 2002, if not earlier. They didn't bring charges till 2003. I didn't get a hearing before the second administrative law judge until 2008. And if you think about what's going on in my situation, this is supposed to be administrative, it's supposed to be remedial, it's supposed to be about quote unquote licensing, and it's nothing about that. It's a branch of military that's involved that's doing this on civilians. It's military personnel that are doing this. They're trying to carry on a psychiatric examination of me and force me under it, unrecorded, off the record. And what have I done? What is the act of incompetence? What is the violation of law, rule, or regulation that I did? And that's the key. That's what I'm supposed to be charged with or prosecuted with, and not the state of mind. That's usually used as a defense, saying that somebody was in a drunken stupor. They were not in the right frame of mind. They were a jealous husband who caught their wife in bed with someone else. And that's supposed to go to mitigation, not towards the prosecution being able to forget all that, forget about what you did. We're going to go after and prosecute you for allegedly some kind of state of mind that we're responsible for putting you in because we tried to connect you to Timothy McVeigh. We put out a bolo, a be on the lookout on you, saying that you may be dangerous without any real cause for that. Because we've used a branch of military and military personnel to do this. In the case of Reed versus Covert, Mrs. Reed, who was prosecuted by the U.S. Army as a civilian, this is back in the 50s, she was actually driven mad by the Army in the midst of the proceedings. And that's exactly what they're trying to do to me. And I'm pretty much, I hate to say it, they've, done a bang-up job.
Well, they're certainly trying to back you into a corner where there's nothing that you can do except act out in some way, and that obviously would play into the narrative they've constructed about you. So
right, because then they just go see, just like we said. Mm-hmm. They've said that I'm suicidal when I've never tried to commit suicide or anything or never said anything about it. They tried to force me to talk about it, and I'm like, what, huh? So that they could then use that against me and say that I'm talking about it. And it's like, what?
I or never say that evil demons possess you. They can just make up whatever they want, really.
Right. And if they can do that about this, and this is somehow simply about a license, what can they do about bigger issues? And this to me is a sleeping giant that has been going on for quite some time now, to where they're using psychiatry as not only a police state political weapon, but a military police state political weapon, to where, much like Franz Kafka, they're using. And if you look into the whole issue of psychiatry and how it works and how it was founded and how they even, quote unquote, diagnose, all the members of the APA basically vote on what a disorder is. They go in and have some kind of like democratic process, and they get to determine and come up with whatever diagnosis that they want to attach to a certain number so that they can charge for it and get paid. And all of this stuff is, it's witchcraft in my mind.
Yeah, well, they still had, they don the cloak of scientific respectability, but they just get to decide that this is a disorder, this isn't a disorder. They get to invent disorders when they feel like it, and they get to use that power and wield it around against whoever they, I guess, find troublesome.
Right, and it's much more pervasive, and it's becoming a bigger and bigger and bigger problem. To where we as, and this is one of the things in that movie, The Changeling, where the attorney that steps forward to represent Angelina Jolie's character in court says, we're all in grave danger. Every single one of us. If this can be done to one of us, this can be done to all of us. And, you know, at some point you see that it's not just her character. They've got a slew of people that the LAPD had identified under Code 12 and had incarcerated without warrant, without probable cause, where it was the police agency filing the complaint. In my own situation, they brought in Cecil Ray, who's a Coast Guard Academy graduate, and he tried to hand me a talking cup in the middle of the proceedings. No, I know you laugh, but it's like, it's so absurd and just that it's disturbing on its face that they could actually get away with where one of their star witnesses against me, it's like the Caine mutiny about strawberries and ice cream or whatever, to where you've got one of their star witnesses, not just one, but even Captain French, their medical officer, he admits he's not a psychiatrist. He's not a psychologist. He has no expertise or training in psychiatry or psychology, and he's their expert medical witness. And because he's somehow been involved in emergency care for personnel in the Coast Guard, he gets to come in and somehow, use his expertise in emergency care where he's not an expert. And he even says in there, all he could do is basically make a recommendation. And basically, you know, like if somebody comes in and they're distraught, he can recommend that they go see somebody for, say, grief counseling or, you know, whatever. He cannot treat them. He cannot diagnose them. He doesn't have the skills, the training, the expertise, let alone the authority to do so. And the Coast Guard not only calls him in as their expert witness, but they call in this guy Cecil Ray, who was my boss on a job, who gets to testify against me. He was only my boss for like 2 weeks as chief engineer. He gets to testify against me. And in the midst of the proceedings, he stands up and tries to hand me a talking cup. It's like H.R. Puffin stuff, the talking flute, like he had pulled it out of his breast pocket and was trying to hand me this precious possession that somehow spoke to him.
And for some reason, they're perfectly fine with that, but right. You're the crazy one. Yeah. Right. Well, again, it just goes to show that this entire, whatever you want to call it, trial or whatever they want to deem it, is absolutely a farce from top to bottom and start to finish. And unfortunately, it just continues along apace. And again, it seems like there's no deflecting this.
I can't get myself out of it. The only way that I'm going to get out of this or survive it is with outside help. And that's just like in that movie, The Changeling. You know, if anybody out there knows Straczynski or can get to him, and he was a writer in that movie, Changeling. He's done a bunch of stuff like Babylon 5. You know, it's going to take somebody, like just in that movie, where it was a minister who came, and he knew what they were going to do to her. He warned her and told her that if you keep pushing this, they will do this, they will do this, they will do this. And sure enough, they did. But he stood by her and got the people of the community involved. They marched on LAPD and accused police officers of being dishonorable. And at some point, you know, I'm not the only individual they're doing this to. This has been going on for quite some time. And the Coast Guard is, look what happened with the BP incident in the Gulf. They're not only shirking their responsibility there in protecting the American people and Gulf residents and more from British Petroleum, a foreign royal crown possession from England, United Kingdom, and what it's doing here to change the laws in the United States, because they did come in and change our laws to allow them to do what, you know, basically happened and did it administratively, used our government and corporations to do it and their own. But they used the Coast Guard to block and prevent and keep people away from the site to actually see what was going on in our own Gulf. And so the Coast Guard is involved in a lot of stuff that they're not supposed to be involved in, and they're not acting honorably. They're not doing their job. With that said, I'm begging for help. I'm begging for intervention. I'm begging for people out there to step forward, do something, because I've not been able to defend myself against them over the last 8 to 10 years, and I don't see it getting any better. I don't see it me getting out of this, let alone surviving much longer without outside help. And I'm sorry to say that, and I'm scared for my own life.
Well, I certainly do understand what you're saying, and I certainly hope if there's anyone out there that can in any way help out or to do something to intervene in this case, I hope they will do so. And again, the documents are there for you to go through, so I hope people will take advantage of that. And once again, at CorbettReport.com, you can go and read the NTSB ruling that we've been talking about today. But Eric Schein, I'm afraid we're out of time for today. So once again, if people are interested in this case and are able to help out, you can contact me through the website and I can get you in touch with Eric. So Eric Schein, once again, thank you so much for your time, and I hope we can talk again very shortly.
Thank you, James, and thanks for helping make at least some of this a part of the record somewhere.